Yay, good to be here. It's one of those weekends where everyone leaves town. Almost everyone, because we're here, right? Praise God. Good to be in His presence this morning. And I was thinking, it's good to see JD here. Nice to see you. Yeah, God's been working in JD's life. Appreciate him being here. And appreciate seeing the Harrises here this morning, too. Yeah, yesterday we had Barbara's funeral, memorial service here, and so we need to be praying for Barbara's family, Jenny and Dave, and their family as well. This morning, we are going to be talking about integrity, and to help us get started with that, we have a short video clip to show you, and so we're going to look at this, and maybe as you're listening to this, be thinking to yourself, how would you answer the question, what is integrity? So let's take a quick look at this video clip.
What is integrity? I don't even know how to spell that.
I don't even know what it is.
This one of them things on the street.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't know.
That's what I mean.
I ain't not speaking English.
I'm a man. Nah, y'all.
What is integrity?
Integrity is being honest, being upstanding, genuine.
That's a good question, man.
Shout out.
It means like you don't lie, you don't steal, you're an honest person.
Doing what you're supposed to do.
Doing what you say you're going to do.
What is integrity?
Integrity. Yeah, I don't know nothing about it. Yeah.
Integrity.
Something that's inside you that does the right thing.
I have no idea.
Honesty. Personal principles.
Strong character. Honesty.
Doing the right thing all the time, no matter what the consequences.
Upstanding a person's character.
It's not always doing what the popular thing is, sometimes it's doing what the right thing is, regardless.
Feeling good about what you do.
Being ethical and moral. What is integrity?
Give a shout out to all my people.
Man, hey.
Brooklyn.
KC, you know what I'm saying?
Integrity. Strong morals.
Integrity is honesty. Someone who stands up for what they say and follows through.
The content of someone's character, you know, and how they live.
You might have to ask somebody else. That's all I might need.
I'm on TV.
Integrity is self-worth.
What is integrity?
It's a good question.
Integrity is your word, your honesty, whether or not you can be believed for what you say.
Just a good person. Karma in a way, it's just be true to oneself and treat other people.
Being upright, honest, being a good citizen. That's what I think integrity is.
Integrity is a person that carries himself with good character.
Say what you mean what you say.
Good question. What is integrity? Years ago, I read about a man down in Long Beach who had gone to a church's fried chicken. Any of you ever eat at a church's fried chicken? A few of you? Yeah. Kind of like KFC, right? Something like that. And so he'd gone into this church's fried chicken to get some chicken for him and this lady that he was with. And so when they got to the place where they were going to have this picnic together, when they opened the box of chicken, instead of finding chicken in that box, they found a huge wad of cash. And apparently the restaurant, the Church's Fried Chicken, had been robbed so many times that the manager had started putting money into the chicken box instead of putting it into the safe, and he'd accidentally given that chicken box to this man. And so for this man and this woman, this is a moment of truth here, right? A moment of integrity, right? To keep the cash or not keep the cash. And to their credit, this man and the woman, they take the money back to the churches and give it to the manager, who is understandably relieved. He's excited. He's grateful. Who wouldn't be? And so the manager, he says, you know, stay right there. I'm going to call TV stations. I'm going to call the newspapers because you've got to be the most honest guy in Long Beach. And this man makes this huge fuss about this, you know, and begs and he says, don't do that. And he confesses finally, he says, I'm married and this lady isn't my wife, right? Have you heard that before? Some of you, maybe. You know, it's true, right? It's a true story. It's an oldie, right? But it's a goodie, right? Because it points out where people are at. This last week, I was listening to KCBS, and they were interviewing a guy, who on his Facebook page, this guy had changed his birthday 3 times in 1 month. Okay, think about that. Each time he put a new birth date on Facebook, Facebook notified all his friends that that day was his birthday. So each time he posted his birthday, Facebook sent out, it's so-and-so's birthday, and this guy got tons of happy birthday posts from people who apparently didn't realize or remember or didn't even care that he'd already had a birthday that month. Don't try that, please, okay? You know, it's so-and-so's birthday, so I'm going to send him a birthday notice, even though it doesn't really matter to me that much. Fool me once, right? Shame on you, right? Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, whatever we post on Facebook is what we want people to think about ourselves. Think about that. It's an image. It's not necessarily the substance of what our lives are really like, deep down at the core of who we are, and that is hugely reflective of our society. Integrity is a commitment to be who we say we are our whole life. What you see is what you get. And we live in a society that lacks integrity. Would you agree with that? What you see way too often, what you see is not what you get. Surface without substance, image without integrity. And we live in a society that is increasingly cynical, where most people simply don't trust each other for good reason. Would you agree with that? Maybe? Yeah. Jurors don't trust the testimony of witnesses. Parents doubt their children, who've learned well from their mentors. Employees and employers, they don't trust each other. Just about everything a politician says is doubted. Profit is the bottom line, my profit. What matters is me, myself, and I, buyer beware. Handshakes aren't good enough. It seems like everyone is conning someone else. We're drowning in fine print. Image without integrity. People are afraid. Life lacks stability. How are we supposed to live life through all of that? Integrity, the kind of integrity that springs from the heart of a man or woman of God is almost extinct. And yet it's desperately needed in this world. Our world, our community, our families, even the church is desperate for men and women of integrity who will walk with God and point the way for others. The question we want to look at this morning is, are you a person of integrity? Are you a person of integrity? If you would join me at Psalm 15, and let's begin together with a word of prayer as we come to God's word this morning. Let's bow. Father, this is a really difficult subject to look at. It touches the core of who we are, and I know this week has been a hard one for me as I've been thinking through this stuff and thinking about my own life, and I know each one of us are going to get hit with something this morning. And I just, Father, I pray that you would lead us through your word, help us to understand what you want to say to us this morning. That Father, we would open our lives to you and that you would make us to be the people that you have created us to be. Father, from the core of who we are to the totality of how we live our lives, Father, may we be men and women of godly integrity. Lead us, Father, in your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 15, starting at verse 1, it says this, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? And those are great questions, aren't they? Who are God's people? I mean, really, who are God's people? To sojourn in God's tent has the idea of think about a tent in the wilderness. Think about nomads in the desert. A stranger comes and is welcomed as a member of the family, is given shelter, is given safety and food. There's this kind of desert hospitality. The amazing warmth of a relationship that develops, that deepens as we share meals and we share a conversation, we share time together. Okay, this is God's tent. Think tabernacle, God's dwelling place in the desert. What kind of person enjoys that kind of warmth, of depth of relationship with God? And dwelling on God's holy hill, it's all about Jerusalem. It's about this little speck of land that God has set apart that's solely for God. It's sacred. And to dwell there, to be permitted to remain there, means coming before the awesomeness, the majesty, the astounding incredibleness of the sovereign, almighty, holy God of creation. What kind of person has the right to come before the holy God and worship Him and not get toasted in judgment? There are a ton of people who will claim that character of intimacy with God. But when it gets down to it, they lack, in reality, they lack the integrity of what it really means to be God's people. Who are God's people, really? What does it mean to be a godly man or woman of integrity? And the answer to that comes in verses 2 to 5. There's 9 brief descriptions here of what godly integrity looks like. And we're going to look at these. By the way, this is a good list to compare our lives to. As we're going through this, this isn't just academic. It's thinking about who we are in comparison to this list. In fact, it may even be a point of stimulating some thought looking at Renewal Weekend coming up and some time of prayer with God and spending time allowing God to examine our lives in relationship to this list. We're going to look at starting at verse 2. We'll read these verses and we'll come back and we'll look at these 9 descriptions. Verse 2, Psalm 15, verse 2. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. Who are God's people, really? Description of integrity number 1. Walks blamelessly. Let's repeat that together. Walks blamelessly. Think consistent. Does anybody know who this is? Anybody know who this is? Whew. You want to think about that a little bit, Hub? Just kind of make sure you got the right answer there. What is Ray Floyd known for? He's a golfer. Okay, good. Won numerous tournaments, right? Retired in 2010. There is a story about Ray Floyd. Ray was getting ready to tap in a routine 9-inch putt when he saw the ball move ever so slightly, right? And according to the rule book, if that happens, the golfer has to take a penalty stroke, right? So ponder that. Ray Floyd, he's among the leaders in this tournament. The prize money is $108,000. To acknowledge that ball moved just that little bit would mean he'd probably give up his chance for big money in this. No one would ever know the ball had moved. No one knew it had moved. He could just go ahead and tap it in for par. And most of us would have trouble with that if we were just playing miniature golf, right? He assessed himself a penalty stroke, took a bogey on the hole. The true test of character is who we are when what? No one's looking. Blameless isn't perfect. You know, if it was, we would all fail what's being said here. But blameless is a from-the-heart desire to consistently live out a relationship with God. So that who we are at work or at church or at home or school, when no one is looking, what we say, the words we use, how we act, it's all the same. Whether anybody notices or not. If someone were to poke around the depths of our hearts, what would they find? Poking around in our thought life. What we let our eyes dwell on. What we focus our attention on. Most of us would cringe at that kind of inspection. Blameless seeks out God's inspection of our heart. Repentance happens. Commitment is daily. Sin is dealt with honestly, openly. What falls short of what God's desire for us is surrendered to God, opened up to God for Him to bring His change in our lives, for God to develop true, consistent, godly character within us. You know, people may accuse us of all kinds of stuff, and they will, but the accusations don't stick. They can't, because we're blameless. Let God deal with our heart, and people's issues are with God, not us. Description number two of integrity is this: does what is right. Okay, let's repeat that together. Does what is right. Two Saturdays ago, I was down at Biola with Andrew at a barbecue dinner for parents and students. And there was like trillions of people at this thing. It was like, about maybe 3,000 people that were being served this dinner at the same time. Right? It's a huge crowd. And we had come up from the dorms so that we got to this line of people. When we got to the line of people that were waiting to go in there, not by intention, but we accidentally arrived at the front of this line, right at the gate where they were admitting people and handing out plates. So we could have just slipped in and probably it wouldn't have been a problem. No one would have really noticed. And looking at the line, you know, the end of the line was someplace in downtown LA, all right? I mean, they could have had one of those signs, right? The wait from here is 6 days, right? And there was a brief moment when we thought about this. You know, just slip in here. Well, at least I thought about it. You know, I don't think anybody would have said anything. Tough luck to all the suckers that had to wait, right? Anyone ever been in a situation like that? Okay, come on, be honest, all right? Yes, all right, okay. You know, doing what is right has to do with living justly, morally, ethically in our relationship with others. If we're going to seek to live consistently right in our relationship with God, we're going to seek to live consistently right with that same kind of righteousness in our relationship with others. All right. Description number three of integrity: speaks truth in his heart. Let's repeat that together. Speaks truth in his heart. Serving God with our time and our money and our abilities, all that is an option. Being here to worship God really isn't all that important. If you have something better to do, a family obligation, some kind of sports event to watch, whatever, it's okay. And sin, well, let's not get hung up on technicalities, okay? Just try to avoid the major ones. In fact, prayer and reading your Bible. You know, hey, not everybody has the same kind of time they used to. God will understand. Just say you believe, and it's okay. We would never tolerate that being taught from the music stand. Right? Right? Whew. Now you guys are really concerning me. Woo! Ray Floyd, yes. Sin, okay. It's all right. But you know, it's concerning how many Christians actually believe that. We say we don't believe that, but people live pretty consistent with what they believe. Jesus said this, He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And sometimes we think we're covering all that up pretty well. We're saying all the Christian things, we're giving all the right answers, but deep down we know there's an inconsistency. Push comes to shove, and we're not as surrendered to God as we'd like other people to think that we are. That whole way of the cross, give up your life, righteous living thing, that is just a tad out there. And God knows when what's coming out of our mouth is not matching up with what's going on in our heart. Right? God knows, we know. And in reality, other people are probably more clued in than we'd like to think they are. So if we want to be people of integrity, let's be honest. Let's be truthful about what's in our hearts. And if there's an inconsistency, let's let God fix it. And maybe that's right now. Maybe there's a short prayer to God. God, I'm struggling with this, but I'm going to take a step of faith here. I've been holding on back on this. Name what it is, and I'm going to give it to you. Nothing held back. No exceptions to my commitment. Description of integrity number four. Does not slander with his tongue. Let's say that together. Does not slander with his tongue. In Hebrew, the word for slander has the idea of a spy. Someone who goes around, wanders around, surreptitiously looking for weaknesses to exploit, gathering information that can be used against the enemy. Now, if you've ever begun a conversation with, and I probably shouldn't tell you this, okay, then you've probably got what slander is all about. It's using information to our advantage at the expense of someone else. Slander is using information to our advantage at the expense of someone else. Using words to do evil, to harm our neighbor. Now, Jesus, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, he defined neighbor as who? Basically everyone, right? Okay. So what's being written here is it's integral to who we are as a congregation and our witness with our neighbors in the community out there, right? James writes that our tongues are small, but they're powerful. They're like rudders on a ship, right? And our words can change the course of our lives, good or bad. Tragic, isn't it? How we as Christians have a reputation for shredding each other with our words. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of that. Tragic how what comes out of our mouths has driven so many people away from Jesus. Isn't it really hard to love someone with the love of Jesus when we're talking about them behind their back? A person of godly integrity is consistently going to be using his or her tongue to build people up, to encourage them, to demonstrate Jesus' love, using what comes out of our mouths as an opportunity to love people and move them towards Jesus. Description number five. Takes up no reproach against a friend. Let's say that one together. Takes up no reproach against a friend. You ever got one of those chain emails, right? Some warm, fuzzy story with a spiritual message. You ever get one of those things, right? Thank you. Good. Okay. And at the bottom it says something like, if you love Jesus, you'll pass this on. Isn't that convicting? I hate that, you know? Like if we don't pass it on, we're some pagan sinner destined for hell, right? God knows, right? Reproach is kind of like that. Okay, it's gossip, it's rumors, it's words aimed at causing pain, some kind of vicious slur, it's an unfair criticism, it's blame, it's verbal abuse, and in some sick way, it makes us feel better about ourselves, less focused on our faults, maybe more a part of the crowd, like we did the right thing, if we're listening to all that and we're passing it on. Even if we know people are getting hurt. How can we say that we love someone, a neighbor, a friend, someone that we closely and regularly spend time with? That's what he's talking about here. Someone we spend time with regularly, know, a neighbor, a friend, if we're participating in what's hurting them, even if they don't know it. See, a person of godly integrity isn't going to take up reproach, which means they're not going to listen to it. They're not certainly not going to forward it. It gets deleted before it even gets opened. A godly man or woman of integrity is going to be more concerned with the pain that their friend is feeling because of all this, empathizing with their hurt, seeking to speak truth into the situation. How are you doing on this list? Tough stuff, huh? Description of integrity number six. Honors those who fear the Lord. Let's try that. Honors those who fear the Lord. Another way of putting this is, who are your heroes? Who are your role models? Recognize these people? Who's the guy over here? It's good, Todd. Yeah, it's good. Basketball player, right? You kind of got that from the ball and the uniform, right? Okay. Retired NBA player. Charles Barkley used to say this. He said this, quote, "I am not a role model." And while Sir Charles, as he was called, was a great basketball player, by the way he lived his life, some really messed up behavior, the words he used, we agree with that. He's not a role model to follow. Now, the point isn't that we should, like, run from the world, but we need to use wisdom in what we expose ourselves to and what we let into our lives. So many Christians spend hours and hours watching and digesting what is ungodly. who we see on the internet or on TV or who we listen to in person or virtually. And then we wonder why it's so hard to follow after God. Paul wrote this. Apostle Paul, he said, don't be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. Given a choice, who is a healthier role model? Oprah or Billy Graham? Harry Potter or Hudson Taylor? A person of godly integrity is going to make choices to be influenced by persons of godly integrity. Are our role models worth emulating, a following, of imitating? Do our role models honor God by the way they live and speak? And one last thought before we go on to number 8 here. If we want our children or we want our grandchildren to move towards becoming people of godly integrity, we need to be wise in our own choices of role models. Description. Number seven. Does not change. Okay, let's repeat that together. Does not change. Verse 4 says, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who keeps his promises even when it hurts. Booker T. Washington, in his book Up From Slavery, tells about he met an ex-slave from Virginia. And Washington writes this, quote, I found that this man had made a contract with his master 2 or 3 years previous to the Emancipation Proclamation, to the effect that the slave was to be permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. And while he was paying for himself, he was not to be permitted to labor. He was to be permitted to labor where and for whom he pleased. Finding that he could secure better wages in Ohio, he went there. And when freedom came, he was still in debt to his master for some $300. Notwithstanding the Emancipation Proclamation freed him from any obligation to his master, this black man walked the greater portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia and placed the last dollar with interest in his hands. In talking with me about this, the man told me that he knew that he did not have to pay his debt, but that he had given his word to his master and his word he had never broken. He felt that he could not enjoy his freedom till he had fulfilled his promise. Now, some people go through life with a calculator, adding up the cost to themselves, whether or not they'll show up or they'll fall through in a commitment. Maybe something better comes along. Maybe they just need to catch up on their sleep. The promises that we make are a reflection of who we are. A person of godly character does not renege on their promises just because things get hard, inconvenient, or circumstances change. Do we stand by our words, regardless of what the cost may be to us? Description number 8 of integrity. Does not put out his money at interest. Long one. Let's repeat that together. Does not put out his money at interest. For some of us, just having money to loan at interest would be an amazing concept, right? The idea here is loaning money to people when we know that we are ripping them off. That we can get away with charging them outrageous amounts of interest, that they may not be able to pay us back, and that we're going to be able to clean their clock, take them to the cleaners in order to collect. Does that sound familiar? Anybody remember the mortgage crisis and all of that? Point being that a godly person, a person of godly integrity, isn't going to use their God-given resources to rip off other people. Quite the opposite. A person of godly integrity is going to use their God-given resources to move the kingdom of God forward, to impact lives with the love of God. Description number 9, does not take a bribe. Let's repeat that. Does not take a bribe. Every man has his what? Price. People's votes and opinions and loyalty and service and actions towards others can be bought if the price is high enough. The people that survey these things, they asked a while ago, they asked a bunch of Americans, they said, what would you do for $10 million? Good question. Think about it. What would you do for $10 million? What would you be willing to do? 25% said they'd be willing to abandon their entire family. 25% said they'd abandon their church. 23% said that they would become prostitutes for a week or more. And this one really bothers me. 3% said they put their children up for adoption. Of course, for us, that's, what, $40 million? That, you know, maybe not a... No. You know, a person of godly integrity cannot be bought. At least by the temporal stuff of this world. Why? Because he or she knows they've already been bought by the priceless shed blood of Jesus on the cross. If our lives have been purchased and are owned by God, why would we ever sell them so cheaply for something else? And yet it happens. Not just with money, but peer approval, little favors, words of encouragement from people we hang out with, blessings and gifts we receive from others, upgrades in our position and standing. There are times when we ourselves are tempted to use our relationships and our resources to influence others to see things our way. We need to be careful that we're not allowing what is familiar and comfortable to us, what scratches where we itch, to influence us away from what God desires to do in us and through us, especially when it comes to our relationships with others. Our God appointments and opportunities to demonstrate His love, to serve God and to move His kingdom forward. A person of godly integrity is going to focus on what God wills, where God is leading, what is God's best for others, not what benefits me. If we take those nine descriptions and we boil them down, we put them together, ultimately, what all this boils down to is three things. First, integrity towards God. Okay. Which means that integrity starts at the core of who we are in our relationship with God. At the core of who we are we really who we say we are? If not, it's time to get real with God. And second, boiling that down, it comes down to integrity towards others. If our heart is right with God, that's going to come out in how we treat other people. What we say and what we do and what how we act, even if people aren't looking. And thirdly, boiling it down, it comes down to integrity, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. The goal isn't what benefits us. The goal is serving God. Totally being available to God, to be used in demonstrating His love towards others and helping them to come to Jesus. There's a promise here, the promise for those who dwell intimately with God in godly integrity. It comes to the end of Psalm 15. It's at verse 5. In fact, let's read this together. Let's read the promise together. He who does these things shall never be moved. What does that mean, to be never moved? Never shaken? Life comes with hard stuff, doesn't it? Shaken, yes, but never upended, never toppled, never defeated. It means standing on a solid foundation, not just now for a short time, but forever. It means that God holds you up. Even if others try to tear you down, even if they accuse you of all kinds of things, you will stand. God will hold you up. And in the uncertainty and in the instability and the cynicism of this world that we live in, that is huge. Live with godly integrity and you will never be moved. God will hold you up. Who holds you up? God. Integrity. Of the type that springs from the heart of a man or woman of God is almost extinct. But it is desperately needed in this world. Our world, our community, our families, even the church is desperate for men and women of integrity who will walk with God and point the way for others. The question for each of us this morning is, are you a person of integrity? Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we acknowledge that these are difficult words to hear. Great list, Father. Thank you for sharing it with us, giving it to us. It comes with an awesome promise. You will hold us up. Father, each one of us, as we're being honest here this morning, as we're going through this list, just practical descriptions of what it means to dwell with you. There are places on this list where we fall short. And Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy towards us. That we know that as we come to you, you do not turn us away. And that you desire to work at the core of who we are. To create in us this, from the core of who we are, a person of godly integrity. You desire to hold us up. Maybe this morning as we're going through this list, you're thinking, that's not me. I'm not quite there yet. Praise God for the areas where you are, but those areas where needs work. Maybe this morning in the quietness of your heart, before between you and God, you might just say to God, God, I'm not there here. This is not all yours. This is where I'm falling short. And if you mean this, just let me encourage you. You might say this to God in the quietness of your heart, you and God. God, I'd like to invite you to deal with this. I repent of the sin here, of where I've fallen short. God, I give this to you. I commit myself to seeking after living in integrity in this part of my life. God, please, please do your work in my heart at this point. Create in me this person of integrity that you desire for me to be. And God, again, we thank you for the promise, because we really need you to lift us up, to hold us up. God, we need to have our lives on that foundation that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. Father, may we be men and women of godly integrity, that you, Father, would receive the glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.